Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rise of the Podcast. I'm Jeremy.
I'm Kara.
And where's Brownie? No, poor Brownie. His voice is missing. So if you find it, let us know. He's feeling a little under the weather. He's here. He's just not mic'd up today due to his voice. But this is episode 20, Kara.
Yes, and it is.
What a ride that it's been.
I know. I can't believe it. It's been what now? Five months? 20?
May.
Yeah. May. So 5 months. Yeah.
Yeah. Well September. Almost 5 months. And we've gone to new studios, and we've got a little bit different equipment, and continuously focusing on improving ourselves, which has been really awesome and fun to see. And I can't wait to keep working on stuff in the future. You've got cosplays you're working on.
I do.
Siri is just awesome.
Siri's a little behind on the calendar, in the planning, but it's fine. I'm gonna get her done. Just ran into a couple hiccups. Jeremy witnessed me putting in a zipper incorrectly, trying to take it out, and then absolutely destroying the whole thing.
On a glove.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you can even, all cosplayers' talent is just out of this world to me. The people you guys, sew and glue and cut.
Anybody can glue.
Well.
Just saying, a little bit of hot glue, just done.
Super impressive. So that's a lot of fun stuff we've got looking forward to. You're going to be going, we're all going as a group to the Star Wars Celebration next year, and we're going to GalaxyCon.
Is it less than a year now? It is less than a year.
Yeah, it's less than a year.
Oh my goodness.
I've got some clone armor to print.
And I've got two cosplays put together after Siri's done.
Brownie's
chiming in.
Brownie's chiming in robot form. So we're going to be going to Star Wars Celebration. We're going down to GalaxyCon November 8th. We have DooluCon coming up next month already. I can't believe it.
We'll be emceeing the whole thing. So if you want to see more of our beautiful faces, come on down to DooluCon October 18th and 19th.
Woohoo!
Okay.
I'm super excited for that. And then we also have a fun, I've been talking to Bill. We're going to have Bill on as a guest again. Hopefully we'd love to have Keith back and of future recurring, or future guests that you guys have never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even bring Han Yoda Shrek back for an episode.
Well, Jeremy's gone for the next 3 weeks. Han Yoda Shrek will be my co-host.
There you go. And all right. Well, so 20 episodes and then September 20th happened. We have talked a little bit about Area 51 or aliens in the past and are they out there? And to my surprise, people showed up.
Shockingly. So the Facebook page had 2 million people saying they were going to go. And then an extra 1.2 million people saying that they were interested in going. And then Facebook was like, okay, this is a government facility. We need to take this event down. So they actually took it down. And then I was reading an article, and the government actually thought that between 20 and 30,000 people were going to show up to this thing.
Wow.
Yeah. I was like, that's a substantial, amount of people.
Right. Well, it would be in the military. They have to literally take every threat serious. And there's
surprised you didn't have to go down there.
There's actual military, secrets there. I'm pretty sure the Blackbird, the SR-71 Blackbird used to fly off and do missions from there.
Oh, fun thing about the SR-71. My grandpa helped develop the autopilot for the SR-71.
That is super cool.
Yep, that's right.
Did you know that they used to wear spacesuits when they flew those?
Because of how high they went?
Because how high they could fly.
What was the altitude on it?
I mean, they could go up to certain atmospheric levels. Can Chris chime in? Do you know?
I thought it was somewhere between 80 to 100,000 feet or something.
Dang.
So Chris threw in 80 to 100,000 feet.
That okay.
Wrong. Well, we'll find out. Comment below if you know how high they fly.
I feel I should know this considering it's actually my family history, but I don't. But there's actually, we'll be talking about some planes actually later on, I think, that were developed at Area 51. Yeah. That actually went to extreme heights, too. So do you know originally what Area 51 was? I wrote it down for you in your notes, but don't look.
Okay, I won't.
What do you think it originally was?
I don't remember. I remember you telling me the government took it over in 1955.
CIA took it over in 1955.
CIA. So what was it?
So originally, the Area 51, which was not named Area 51, was a silver and lead mining.
Oh, silver and lead.
Silver and lead mine. Yeah.
That's cool.
So that's what it was. And then World War II came around, and the government decided they needed an area that wasn't very populated for nuclear and weapons testing.
Oh, yeah.
So during World War II, that's what they did.
I want to do a whole topic covering just World War II, and I learned some really cool new facts about World War II, and I can't wait.
Anything about nuclear stuff? Well, I guess kind of, yeah.
Yeah, some no, things you nuclear told me. Is absolutely involved yeah, in it.
Definitely.
But I'll save it for that episode.
All right, fine.
And we want to have AJ on, Kara's brother, because mm-hmm. he will talk forever about yeah. Area 51, about military stuff in general.
No, AJ's definitely has a passion for like World War I, World War II history. Actually just all military history, I feel. He'll go and watch documentaries just for poops and giggles, but you know.
Right.
So
I'm gonna brag on Minnesota for 10 seconds as a tangent.
Ooh.
So some fun facts. We're known for like Target, but our big one is like 3M is based out of Minnesota.
Yes, it is.
And
a lot of dental stuff is 3M, believe it or not.
Yeah, and well the Mayo Clinic mm-hmm. is also huge. Mayo Clinic invented the G suit, which airplane pilots, fighter pilots use. It inflates to keep the blood up in their upper part of their body so they don't pass out. Mm-hmm. That was invented at the Mayo Clinic. But mines in northern Minnesota is actually where the steel comes from to make, and they manufacture them up north, is hardened nose cones for bombs.
Oh.
So that's all that's comes cool. from northern Minnesota, which is kind of cool.
That's cool.
What we never knew we were made for.
Kind of funny. Just, this is a tangent. You were talking about the G suit inflating and stuff like that. So I went and visited Jeremy, and they're suiting up an incentive ride
yep.
Person.
Yep.
And one of Jeremy's coworkers was helping suit him up, helping get the helmet fit and everything. And, like, the guy they were suiting up was just apparently super quiet, didn't really want to put up a fuss. You know, if it was uncomfortable, if it didn't feel quite right, oh, it's fine, you know. And so they're fitting him up for this helmet. And he didn't realize there was, like, a bladder in the back that also expanded. And so he's sitting there. It's like, oh, yeah, this fits totally fine. Fits totally fine. And then I guess when they were up or something, I don't remember how it happened, but it started to expand. The guy was like, oh, my gosh, this is getting, like, super tight. Like, he had no idea.
So
it was kind of funny.
People either, like, comment or message below and let us know if you ever want me to talk about some of the things that I know about in that aspect. I don't talk much about my work because I don't know if it's how interesting it is.
But I think it's super interesting.
Since you brought it up, so when you pull G's, right, so the bladders inflate and squeeze the blood up. It also, there is a bladder, and it inflates in the back of the helmet. So what it does is it pushes your face tighter into the mask. So that way you don't get any air leaking on when you pull G's. Because as you start to pull G's, you have all this force that comes onto your body mm-hmm. and everything starts to push and slide
down.
Is
that red out or is that blackout?
That's blackout.
That's blackout.
So red out is when you have too much blood in your head.
Gotcha. Okay.
And it literally causes your vision to go red. It does. It negative G's. So positive G's
so like
is if you're going
you're,
like.
Right. So you know, if like a plane loses.
Altitude.
It's just.
Yes.
That's okay.
So and a human can handle it like 9. Ish positive G's, but only 3 or 4 negative G's.
Interesting.
So if you go into a big dive, that's when all the blood starts to rush up and you can't squeeze your head to get the blood to go back down. To a certain extent, it doesn't work like that because it's all bone.
Just.
And so, yeah, it doesn't work like that. So, yeah, there you go. Just go inverted and then, you know, right? All the blood will rush, you know. Just do an inverted dive. Oh, man, crazy. So anyways, so yes, the bladder does inflate. And then also the tester, I love the look on people's faces. So when we have to test it, we have to test for a 9G pull. So it inflates.
Oh, maybe that's when he started complaining about the fact that it was actually uncomfortable.
So we just tell him, you know, it's like, okay, it's going to be really uncomfortable for a couple minutes. And then everybody freaks out because their first thought is, I'm on the ground and I can't breathe. I can't do this in the plane. And it's like, no, the tester is way worse than the actual airplane. So
that's funny.
Now I could talk forever on that stuff. But anyways.
I think your job is interesting. So what Jeremy does is aircrew flight equipment.
Yep.
I know this is like off topic of Area 51, kind of. So like all survival gear.
Yeah,
parachutes. That the pilot needs.
Parachutes, night vision goggles.
And then G suits and then the helmets mm-hmm. and
yeah.
night vision and stuff. Just a little brag here. Jeremy got an award for, what was it?
For sea sales?
Eating the most sandwiches.
Chris said eating the most sandwiches.
You're the new stripe you got.
Yeah, commendation medal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeremy did an excellent job, according to the airbase, on sea cells, and there were a couple other things listed in there.
It was pretty impressive. There's some very big movies like Black Hawk Down and Behind Enemy Lines, and I think Thin Red Line. Christian Bale's in one where he's a World War II fighter pilot down behind enemy lines, and it's all about aircrew recovery.
I've not seen this movie.
It's really good.
It's Christian Bale.
air crew recovery is really interesting, and I've actually got to go to some schools and stuff and learn about all the aspect of getting somebody home safely. And it is really, really some really cool topics and all the different ways that things work and what people have gone through and stuff like that. So tying a bow back into, I know how things work now, but it's amazing how archaic things were back even during World War II.
Right.
And the different things that they would have to do. There was no ejection seats. They would literally bail out of the plane.
They should say G-suits haven't really changed all that much.
Not since the 70s.
Yeah. I mean, think about that. I mean, the pilots that we have now.
Bell bottoms.
Right? Polyester G-suits. Sorry.
No, it's fine. We're missing our, we miss having Chris mic'd up because he's laughing over here.
I know, seriously.
We don't have him mic'd up for the funny stuff.
Anyway, so back to Area 51.
So we're talking about Area 51 because it was September 20th, is that everybody was going to raid.
And we're on episode 20.
Episode 20. But then it was just really is funny that people showed up. So of course they would.
Yep. And so they did. Should we go into like more history, Area 51, or should we talk about what happened on 20th?
Yeah, we're definitely going to go to more history. I want to say this really quick, though. So the event, the guy who started the event never knew it was going to get this big, and he didn't mean for it to get this big. It was just purely satirical. Mm-hmm. And so now what they're going to do to try to divert this from happening every year is hold a alien con, like festival con, more or less, in Vegas.
I saw that.
So people can go there and, you
they're
know.
They're trying to tie music festivals.
Like right?
What? Yes, and it is absolutely going to be a
and
thing.
And we have video footage of it. Of
Chris, we've got video footage of you saying that. Ah, funny. So anyway, so that's a thing. It's going to be every year now in Vegas. A guy unknowingly started a new annual tradition for a bunch of people.
Oh,
and funny enough, we've been meaning like, we Karen and I have been watching Monk, and then the episode, there's an episode where Monk runs into he sees a UFO, and that's a really cute episode. It's really, really good.
We were watching, and Jeremy was like, it's kind of fitting that we're watching this right now.
I just couldn't believe the timing of it. But anyways, all right, so let's go back to the history of Area 51.
Okay, so taken over during World War II, and then after World War II in 1955, they started testing out, the CIA, started testing out reconnaissance planes.
Oh, cool.
And they, again, needed an area, a private area to be testing these things out.
Right.
And so they ended up taking over the airfield at Groom Lake. It wasn't Area 51 until the CIA took it over in 1955.
Okay, I want to say, so did it start silver and lead mining in 1951?
Before World War II.
Because I was always told that it was called Area 51 because it was made in 1951. That's a very common military naming convention. So a very popular World War I handgun is a 1911.
Yeah.
And it's called a 1911 because it was made in 1911. What's the
original.
What's the most common gun used in the world today? Thunder.
A little bit of thunder. Lightning and the thunder.
Is the AK-47 made in 1947?
Okay.
By Alexei Kalashnikov.
The MP40 and MP38 and MP32, all machine pistoles used by the Germans in World War II, all made in 32, 40.
Because Hitler was obsessed with machine pistols.
Yes. And then so the 47 was people, like rumor has it, it was based off the STG-44. So the Russian copied the German design from 1944, but they called it an MP44. Because Hitler was obsessed with machine pistols.
So in case anybody's wondering why Jeremy has so much World War II gun knowledge, his dad is obsessed with World War II weaponry.
He wanted me to understand the history of like the military. If you're going to be in it, definitely understand the history. And so, okay. So Kara, do you have any other sweet facts for us or anything like that?
Oh yeah. So, sorry. Jeremy's distracting me over there.
I'm preventing fog.
It's just starting.
Yeah.
So when the CIA took over, like I said, they're working on making reconnaissance planes. And so the first one they created was the U-2 plane.
Oh, yeah.
So this was made, obviously, by the CIA. And it was able to cruise at 70,000 feet.
Wow.
So at this...
So there you go. The Blackbird facts must be pretty close.
It gets better for the next plane. So the U-2 was able to soar at 70,000 feet, which at that time was above the Soviet radar, their missiles, and enemy aircraft. So they couldn't, the Soviets couldn't detect it. Again, this is during the Cold War, so, you know, gotta be careful.
Right. Chris just lost it over that one.
It's the Cold War. You gotta be careful.
You gotta be careful.
I'm dying. Okay.
Okay, well, while you guys recover...
Well, here's the thing. It was shot down by the Soviets in 1960.
Okay, now I feel like going on a tangent about the Cold War, though. So the Cold War was started when World War II ended. Germany was split into East and West Germany, mm-hmm. with Russia being in control of West Germany and... Or no, East Germany, and then the U.S. and allies were being in control of West Germany. And the communism on the East Germany side was causing the people to go into poverty. So mm-hmm. the United States started dropping aid and supplies to the East Germans so that they could live and survive. But they were also dropping propaganda for how awesome the United States way of doing government
is. I mean, was like that really propaganda? I mean, I don't know.
Yes, it is propaganda to a certain extent. Yes, it is. So that's kicked off the Cold War, high tension between the U.S. and Russia, and then a nuclear arms race, which mm-hmm. is really fascinating. Also,
I mean, nuclear weapons are still a thing that each you know, country is flexing, like, oh, we've got this, watch out, right. You know?
Actually, in starting off, like, the history of internet memes, one of my favorite videos of all time is The End of the World, which is a little Flash animation that came out in late 90s, early 2000s.
And Chris is like, oh, I wish I had a mic right now.
It's all, it is such a good video, and Chris Brownie's agreeing with me over there. It's just... Watch it. Well, maybe I'll throw the link in the description and we'll get her for there later. Okay, but you were talking about the U-2 and reconnaissance planes.
Yeah, so the U-2, like I said, got shot down in 1960. Because
it's the Cold War and you got to be careful.
Yep, watch out, guys. Watch out.
We need to turn the fan on.
Got it.
This thing's still fogging.
Roger that.
Okay.
We'll go to a cut.
Are we cutting?
No, we're not cutting.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, so you're just going to... Okay. So after the U-2 was shot down, the CIA began to develop another plane called the A-12. Does anybody know? Any Jeremy's out there. I feel awkward talking about myself. Okay.
You're talking to me.
I'm talking to Chris, and he can't talk back. And okay.
It's everybody's favorite situation.
So the A-12 was able to fly at about 90,000 feet. I know, Chris is making oh my gosh face. So it was able to cruise at 90,000 feet. It's kind of cool. Do you know how fast that plane could go, the A-12? It could go, exactly, 2,200 miles an hour.
Wow.
It could clear the U.S., the continental
Chris,
U.S.
Chris, that is like Mach 3, I think.
It could clear the continental U.S. in 70 minutes.
Oh, my gosh. I can't even fathom that. It took us hours to drive that distance. Days.
So, yeah.
Days.
One side all the way to the other, 70 minutes. Isn't that insanity? I know. So the testing of this is kind of, you know, people are beginning to see UFOs. Because can you imagine during that time, during the 1960s, seeing something go that fast? I mean, can you imagine? Yeah, they're going to suspect UFOs, right?
Right.
So the really big, like, jump onto the UFO bandwagon didn't start until a guy, what's his name? Robert Lazar. He did. Have you guys heard of him?
Mm-mm. Okay, Chris has.
Of course he has. He did an anonymous interview saying that he worked at Area 51. And he was saying that he was basically in charge of helping redevelop this alien technology into U.S. aircraft. So that's kind of where people really began to jump onto the bandwagon. And like, UFOs, aliens, Area 51 is hiding all of this from us.
Right.
So.
Well, so that kind of ties into what I know at work is, there's huge airplane manufacturers. You've got Lockheed, Boeing, stuff like that. And they sell airplanes to not only fighter airplanes to not only the U.S., but all other countries as well. But the one thing that the other countries don't get is the avionics. That's the way that right. the airplane, you know, tracks and does its job. Its job to do and shoot down other airplanes right. and do its defense roles.
Well, so, Lockheed was actually, it was the director of the CIA, Richard something. Sorry. And then
Richard Bissell?
Yes, Richard Bissell. I wrote it down for you, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
And then who was the Lockheed guy?
Kelly Johnson.
Kelly Johnson. So Lockheed was actually key in choosing Groom Lake.
Oh, into the for that spot.
To be the CIA reconnaissance plane development center.
So what I'm hearing from you, though, is the reason why our avionics are so good is because of aliens.
Exactly.
According to the guy that they interviewed.
Well, okay. And then later on, they found out that this guy lied about everything.
It's like, it's...
He didn't go to MIT. He didn't go to California Institute of Technology. He didn't do any of this stuff. But, I mean, people were so attached to the idea at that point that there was no going back.
Right. So Kara, you tell me about Roswell then.
Roswell
is an alien crash that's near Area 51.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the pre-Lazar.
Very
instant, mm-hmm.
the beginning of the instigation.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Supposedly, a UFO crashed at Roswell, and the United States government hauled off everything to do with it and went through it in Area 51
because
it
was close by. Oh, it's like Captain Marvel.
Oh, there you go, Captain Marvel, or even the Kree, the Winter Soldier, or you know, Captain America. You know,
it's all real.
I wish. So that's really, really cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of, I don't know, what I have about Area 51. They did declassify the stuff, obviously, about the U-2 and A-12, otherwise we wouldn't be talking about it today. I mean, 150 people only showed up to the...
Okay, so there's a very popular show that I haven't watched. I would be willing to check it out, but Naruto is... do you know the name of the show? Is
it Naruto? Isn't that an anime?
Yes, he's got the metal... Yeah, blonde spiky haired guy. Mm-hmm. So there's a run style that he does. So the whole funny joke was that everybody can Naruto run past the bullets, and they can't stop them all.
Oh.
And
definitely stop 150.
Yeah, it can definitely stop 150 for sure. So anyways, I saw some fun clips of like a guy trying to Naruto. He was in Vegas at the con because they are also holding the. This is the first year of the Alien Con now in Vegas. And he was there, Naruto running past an interview person. And then I wish I could talk to you about that, too, Chris. You know, it's like people getting in the background.
Losing out on so much conversation because Chris can't talk to us. Normally, we like all of our awkward like ums and ums
are all filled in by
Chris with actual cool facts instead of me like, well, here's what I learned in the past 20 minutes.
But so, yeah, anyways, and then so that you got those people doing that. But I laughed. I read one article where the furthest somebody made it was 3 feet onto the base.
Oh, some lady, like, went for the gate. She almost got under the gate. And they arrested somebody for urinating publicly, like, I think on the fence or something like that. Boy. Like, but, okay, the government said they would use lethal force.
Absolutely.
If needed.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a military base. I mean,
so,
like,
I know Brownie can't talk, but he got to go film. We have a local community college that does a lot of police training, and they go up to the runway in the airport to do the defensive driving for the police officers so they can have all the space and don't have to worry about crashing into anything. And when you're up there, there's signs painted all over any airport. Red line, do not cross. If you cross, you will be shot. Like, they can't afford to allow people to get in the way of airplanes, just because takeoff, landing, all that stuff. It's all innocent people on those planes flying to wherever they want to go. And it's like airport security is a huge issue.
Well, there's dogs that, I mean, they will shoot birds on.
Oh, yeah. No, they do too. Bird strikes and everything like that. Mm-hmm. If there's too many birds, airfield management will go out and they'll shoot to scare them away. But if there's birds that like nest and refuse to leave, they have to actually just shoot them. And wildlife. And
they also have dogs, though, too, that go out and
scare them.
Yeah, they'll scare them away.
Keep them at bay.
Weren't you saying that, like, when bird strikes happen, they have to, like, log into, like, adjust flight paths and stuff?
Oh, yes. So all bird strikes are recorded and sent to a nationwide database since, I believe, the 70s. And they can use bird strike patterns to, like, predict bird migratory like places, and they like try to learn when and where, and there's actually like a safety risk, and if it's like a high historical day of like bird strike chances, they might not fly just because, or they might alter the way which runway they take off of. There's tons of logistics that go into flying.
Does that go for you guys too?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Hmm. Yeah, we actually had a guy hit a bird not too long ago. So
really,
yep, on takeoff.
Did he have to land immediately?
Or? No, but it did do some damage that needed to be fixed.
Well, so. Okay. What is it that you said? They don't like to land unless absolutely necessary, because the moment they land.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So it's just like when you start an airplane.
Yeah.
And it works, uh-huh. You fly it. Because every time you start it and shut it off, things have a chance of not working again when you start it back up again. So yep. It's like once they get an airplane running, they'll do anything they can. And if it's working,
to keep it in the air.
Well, before they even take off. Yeah. If they start and everything is greenlit to go, because there's so many redundant safety checks and features, mm-hmm. that they don't even want to risk it. So if they fire it up and everything says it's working, that means all of the first measures and secondary measures are all working correctly to ensure that thing's going to fly. Mm-hmm. So then they, like, if you shut it off, something could have broken, and you turn it back on again, it might not work right. So airplanes are opposite computers. You know, have you tried shutting it off and turning it back on again? No, I can't do that.
Don't do that.
Give me something else. So.
Well, I know, like, when I was up there and I watched the flight come in, I mean, there were a crew of, like, 10 people.
Right.
And they were going over the plane with a fine-tooth comb. Just I mean, it was crazy.
Right.
You got to be really, you got to be careful, guys.
Right. It's the Cold War. So, no, and then we'll just do a quick little recap. So this has been 20 episodes with Rise of the Podcast. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to keep making new stuff, and I'm looking forward to like a year of guests and another, more parodies and more Lego videos. And I was talking about in the pre-roll, I've got footage from the very first Lego build you and I ever did together, which we filmed, and it'd be fun to kind of break that down with Slave One.
Oh.
You know, the fun.
Wait, we have footage of yeah. building Slave One?
Yeah, we do. Yeah. How could you not remember? We had the lamp and the rubber bands holding the phone over the table. Because I wanted a sweet top-down shot, and I...
That's right. And yeah. It took us, like, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Because now we're like, let's crunch out a 10,000-piece build in 2 hours.
Stuttgart, which is a racing company, built the Millennium Falcon. They have the world record for 8 hours and 13 minutes building it.
Oh, we can beat that.
Yeah. So, but just, anyways. You know,
speed up the footage a little bit. We'll get it done in 8 hours.
We can do it in like 4 minutes.
Beat that.
Anyways, that's all I have for today. Kara, do you have anything else you want to talk about?
I don't think so. We're just going to keep this one a little short, a little sweet.
I just want to just do a shout out too to all the people that comment. We've been having a lot of positive comments on like the Star Wars videos and the videos that we've been putting out. So I just want to thank you guys so much for your support, because it really truly does mean the world to us. And I try to write back, or you guys will try to write back, you know, to the people. But we got our couple comments from BRD11 again, and I just love it when he comments. He or she.
Okay, here's the thing. Whenever you don't comment,
we're like,
Jeremy's like, they've stopped watching. I haven't heard from BRD11 in like 2 weeks.
It's true.
I'm not even kidding. It's so funny. I'm like, Jeremy, a lot of people let it, you know, a few movies gather and then they watch a bunch. So. But poor Jeremy, you stress him out whenever you do.
Okay. Well, all right. That's all I have for today, Kara. Thank you so much for watching. And
yeah, like, comment, subscribe, and hit the notification bell. May the force be with you.